IVM.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Think Fast, where this week we're actually planning to think and be fast. Normally, I don't think, I think, and Sujitha goes faster than I do. But this week, we're shaking things up a little bit, shaking up the format, and we're trying to go ASAP and right away, but rapid, but yet rowdy. And I'm trying to think of more analogies, but that is just stretching this conversation.
Varun,
so
you
how
are,
has your
yes,
week been?
Yes, you really are. I mean, for a show called Think Fast, we're pretty slow. I gotta say. I know, but I'm excited about testing out this new format because that means we'll have to read fewer articles and do lesser research and be less accountable. But and I'm all up for that, especially with long weeks. How is my week, man? Pretty exhausting. Like, there's just a lot going on. Not like in a good way, because, you know, I think people have very conveniently and happily forgotten about COVID. The world seems to be moving along. What about you, man? Did you buy Zomato stock, by the way?
No, I did not buy Zomato stock.
So you are not dying of heartburn.
I'm not dying of any heartburn. I do want to get my hands on LIC stock though. But I don't know if I'll be able to get an allocation. It's one of those companies where, like, you just want to, like, I don't know why, you just want to have LIC. I have SBI stock, in full disclosure. I did buy that when that came out. So I'm a little old school in the way I invest, I've realized. I like to go for the old guns and not necessarily for the new and
cool.
We know.
You're turning 40. In now, 5.5 months. 6 months.
Six months. I'm looking forward to it, actually. I've heard 40s are the new 20s or the new 12s, whichever works. What are we talking about this week? What are you talking about this week?
So I'm going to be covering three topics, guys, and I'm going to be fast because, you know, I haven't dug into them as much as I usually do. But we'll be talking about Disney Hotstar's subscription bumper that they've had. I'll also be covering Gehraiya and all the, you know, flack that they seem to be getting all across, you know, the Twitterverse plus Instagramverse. I've seen the movie. I didn't mind it. But you know, we'll chat about that. And finally, Cult Fit and Mama Earth have been making a couple of acquisitions. Mama Earth expanding into their strategy of house of brands through their acquisition of Be Blunt, and Cult Fit, of course, acquired Gold's Gym. So those are the three topics that I'll be covering. What about you, man? What about you?
This is an interesting piece where Jio invested in Glance, and Glance in many ways is one of the, you know, largest ad platforms. You look at Google, Facebook, etc. Come in, like, I think they come at number 4 or number 5. They come in the top 5, I know that for sure. And so it's interesting to see that they've invested into Glance. It's primarily Android, but it comes in the lock screen where the ads kind of show up. So it's interesting, and Glance has been expanding a lot. So I'm going to dig into that one a little bit. There's also in my love for the metaverse as it's been going on these days, we're going to go into the Poojaverse. That is not me creating metaverse for Pooja, my wife. This is Poojaverse by Pooja Entertainment, the guys behind all the number one movies, all your Hero number one, Jodi number one, all the number ones. So I'm digging into that. Like, Bollywood is entering the metaverse. I'm waiting for Bhai to start the Bhaiverse. That's what I will want to go check out. And the last one, me being the Dwayne Johnson fanboy that I am, there was a very interesting thread about how he's kind of pushed Terimana Tequila, his tequila company, to being the fastest growing tequila brand of all time. So great thread, so much insight as to how you can kind of build a brand the way he has. And so I'm going to dig into that a little bit. So those are my three picks for this week. And yes, and we have some interesting recommendations to round things off. New format, rapid and firing away, if that's the way to call it. Woohoo! But before we go rapid and we fire away, we're going to take a break because advertising pays the bills. If we have ads, I think we do. Do we have ads? Let's take a break.
We have one ad.
Yes. We have one ad. Yes, amazing. Welcome back to Think Fast, where we're trying something new this week. We're trying to go rapider and faster and thinkier and everything else this week. So I'm going to start off by asking you, Sujitha, what is, you mentioned your first one was Disney and Hotstar. So let's kick off with that one.
Yes. So ladies and gents, just a couple of data points to get us started. So Disney and Hotstar's subscriber base has swelled to 45.9 million with an addition of about 2.6 million subscribers in Q1. Overall, Disney subscriber base has grown to 129.8 million from 118 million in the trailing quarter. Of course, Disney Plus Hotstar is available across India, Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand. And I think what has obviously made Disney and Hotstar's growth fairly interesting is if our listeners remember, we discussed Netflix and their slowdown in subscribers and subscriptions. In fact, Reed Hastings alluded to it himself in a quarterly earnings call. So Hotstar seems to really be on the rise. You know, of course, the big sort of, you know, sword sort of looming over their heads is what is going to happen with the IPL tournament, which is going to be up for grabs in the next couple of weeks. And we also spoke about, Viacom getting Uday Shankar back, focusing on their digital efforts, Reliance and Jio, you know, backing them. And of course, now things are going to heat up for the IPL. So before we get into all things Disney and Hotstar, Varun, if I had to ask you, right, what do you think has been Hotstar's secret sauce or like secret of success in India? Because let's be honest, their tech isn't the best. I mean, they seem to be improving quarter on quarter, but their programming seems to really have, you know, caught a sweet spot with folks.
Yeah. So I think it's primarily IPL, to be honest. I feel that's the biggest drive why people do subscribe. That's one of the main things I watch on Hotstar. And I'm counting myself as like what I see people watching on Hotstar largely. While there are lots of shows people go to, a lot of their shows have been catching up. Like Arya was a great show. Yeah. I haven't seen season two. And they've also gotten a bunch of movie premieres that have done well for them, I'm guessing. But I still largely think it's sports, right? Everything from Kabaddi. And Kabaddi, obviously, also one more interesting insight. Sometime back, we had I'd gotten a couple of guys onto advertising instead who were talking about how Kabaddi is actually very high in viewership. We don't give that sport enough credit for how much it drives traffic onto Disney Plus. So that's another one. All that's mixed up Star Sports on TV and Disney Plus, but it's still going to be the IPL. That's going to be the clincher for them. But broadly, if I look at it beyond that, I feel it's also the archives of what Disney has, right? I think most parents have, I think globally, and I think that goes for India as well, have a Disney Plus connection because you have all the Disney movies there. They also do a lot of like shorter ones for Disney only and some really like for parents type things. They literally like take a character from an animated movie and just have something happen in loop for like an hour, which has no story relevance per se, but it's just great to put in front of a toddler. So they've done a lot of smart things like that. I think the archives really work. Like I honestly just watched the Marvel and the Star Wars shows on Hotstar apart from the IPL. I don't necessarily watch anything else. But I think that's the thing. It's going to be, the IPL is going to be the clincher. I think everything else kind of will follow. But I don't know. Reliance, Uday Shankar, and now they've gotten a lot of money in. That's going to be the tricky one.
Yeah, I do think what Hotstar definitely has done, Disney Plus Hotstar, what they've definitely done is really like double down on their local content focus. And I think they've been like, you know, steps ahead compared to at least any of the other competitors, right? You obviously see Sony Live now make a semi-attempt with their originals, Rocket Man, Rocket Boys. What was it called?
Rocket Boys. Actually, Sony Live's actually been quite good. They had Scam. Which did really well. And now they got Rocket Boys. So they've had a few. Sony's actually been doing decent work there. But Hotstar also, like, the problem with Hotstar is so cluttered with so many things. You can't find most of them half the time. I think that's a big problem there.
No, I mean, definitely, like, Discovery is a big issue because, you know, they've got, like, a bunch of, like, the HBO portfolio, if I'm not mistaken, rolling into all things Hotstar.
Which will move out, by the way. Because HBO Max is launching in India. HBO Max is launching in India.
Oh, shit.
From the grapevine, what I've heard is because I've worked in the media circles. They have been hiring teams. People have started sitting, like, whatever, work together in office spaces, etc. So HBO Max launching very soon. So HBO will go away from Hotstar as well.
How interesting. But I wonder what the strategy over there is, because they will really have to build up a lot of, like, very unique local regional content in order for them to strike a chord over here, which you, I mean, can't doubt the HBO guys to do, given, you know, the kind of like shows that they've been able to pull off. And I think that that's been like HBO's niche, right? Where they don't have scale.
You've seen what Lionsgate play, which is like very tiny in terms of an OTT, primarily has a few movies and shows and stuff. They've bundled themselves up with... They've actually bundled themselves with a lot of things, right? So suddenly you get a subscription to like through Amazon Prime, you can actually watch Lionsgate Play. Through Apple TV Plus, you can get it through Android TV. So I have a feeling HBO might go that route, because I don't know. Like, HBO traditionally never goes scale anywhere in the world, but this is India. People have to do things differently here.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this will last if they don't keep the IPL. I don't think it will last. I think that's the main clincher.
I mean,
I watch
seems like
cricket only on Hotstar.
Yeah, it seems like they're betting on it though, because Disney CEO Bob Chapek said that local content that they're developing, including the library content from its own brands, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, Nat Geo, will mitigate the impact if they don't win the IPL auction. And they apparently add close to about 18,000 hours of original programming every single year. And, you know, unlike Netflix, but they seem to be definitely taking India much more seriously, you know, than otherwise. What's also interesting about this, we can get to the next topic, but I think what's also interesting about this is the ARPU. So the average revenue per user of a subscriber has grown. So if I'm not mistaken, I think the ARPU in the previous quarter was 79 rupees or something, and now it's gone up to about, you know, 100 bucks. So they're actually being able to make more, you know, per user, which could be a combination of multiple different factors. You know, one, I think their pricing strategy has been pretty interesting. You know, what Netflix is doing now, I think Hotstar was pretty early on to the game, much earlier. So Disney plus Hotstar, the stack definitely has a better understanding of, you know, what is it that India wants, what is it that India like watches, and they seem to be giving it to us on a platter. So definitely bullish on what they're able to do, even outside of whether or not they get the IPL bid.
I still feel, I think this landscape will change entirely after the Viacom thing happens. I am very bullish on that one. But I think it's good to get a shake-up in the market. And I'm a media junkie anyway, so I'm excited about it.
Keep Lots everyone of masala on their toes. Yes.
Speaking of masala, Jio's invested into Glance. Now, Glance, I'm just kind of looking at it. Jio's invested $200 million into Glance, which is the popular lock screen tool in smartphones where you actually get, you know, a bunch of content, ads, and all that stuff there. The investment will value Glance at about 1.7 billion to 1.8 post money. But what's interesting here is that this obviously kind of came through founder Naveen Tiwari and everybody else, and they've been acquiring and building a lot of partnerships lately. Roposo became a part of their piece. They did a tie up with Collective Artist Network to launch Glance Collective. So they've been building this entire piece, you know, almost collection of brands and properties together. So this investment with Jio, I think, really helps, because especially when you are, you know, you're building off the lock screen of phones.
Yeah.
And then Jio invests into you. I think it's a bit of a win-win for them, especially because they want to expand to other markets outside of Asia. So it might be an interesting time for them to do this as part of the InMobi group.
Yeah. So I have a quick question for you over here, which is, how does this fit into Jio's overall investment play? Because, you know, there've been a bunch of announcements, everything from Dunzo to now, Glance. They really seem to be picking up companies, you know, faster than before. At least the pace seems to have accelerated. So where do you think Glance fits into the grander scheme of things?
I think it's interesting to see how this becomes their ad network, right? Because if you look at the tie-up they've done with, let's say, Roposo, they're almost like a content network that you can kind of plug, you know, brands and ads into. With the Collective Artist tie-up with Glance Collective, you know, you're looking at the creator economy, like influencers and what you can kind of put into that. So Jio kind of can almost like plug into an entire pipeline of saying, okay, there's YouTube and there is Facebook, there's Google and there's Facebook, but is there a way to kind of plug into this and kind of scale it up as you go to other markets? That I think that might be the play. Could also be an interesting way for Jio to scale outside of India as well. If Glance is in other markets, is there a way for the Jio network to suddenly not just be an Indian one? It could be a global one in that sense. So I kind of saw in this, but makes sense. They can drive a lot of ad revenue by just being a part of this.
Yeah, and I think that's also interesting because, you know, Jio's focus hasn't ever been ad revenue as such. You know, their focus has always been using sort of like technology as a way to really unlock the power of commerce that Jio has, right? Or like the Reliance Group at large has. So it's interesting to see them tapping into a model that, at least for someone like me, seems a little outside of their general sort of like, you know, area of focus, or at least area of monetization. But InMobi, which is Glance's holding company, quote unquote, has been doing phenomenally well. You know, I think their revenues, and we can pull up numbers, but their revenues have been growing, you know, fairly tremendously in a very, very complicated market. That also advertising, they really seem to carve a niche for themselves, right? And they're one of the few companies that has been able to put up a fight against the Facebook, Googles, etc. of the world through their multi, you know, region sort of like strategy and approach. So good on Glance, and I'm interested to see how Jio sort of, you know, puts pieces of their chessboard together with this.
Yeah, And just one piece to add here, that Glance is available in multiple languages. So I think that's also an interesting thing for kind of geo to tap into. You can target different kinds of user bases and kind of almost like scale up content. You know, you can push content to people. And I feel geo is always trying to find ways to push content to people beyond. I think maybe it's not just advertising. I think it's also a content push to people and kind of send. Imagine you get the IPL and you push it to people to their lock screen through Glance.
Yeah. But I wonder what happens to all the other guys, because like Roposo is a short form bet. You know what I mean? And we, like last week, we just discussed MX Takata getting acquired by Merge.
So I
wonder, like in this grander sort of scheme of, you know, short form video content creation, local content, regional content, etc. I wonder where all this stacks up. But I guess we'll have to wait and watch.
Yes. Yeah, speaking of wait and watch, what did you have next?
Oh my God, did you see Gehraiya?
No, I haven't watched yet. I love the music though. I've been tripping on the music for a while. I semi get what it. It's a kind of genre which I like, but I only watch movies which are slightly darker at specific points of time in my life. Right now, I mean, I want to watch happy stuff. I don't want to watch anything dark or things. So although I did watch Reacher, which is a great show on Amazon Prime. It's like time pass. But sorry, Gehraiya. You saw it. What do you think about it?
So, you know, similar to you, like usually my genre of like television is like trash or like, you know, reality based stuff. So, for example, like Inventing Anna, Tinder Swindler, all of this shit is like right up my alley. Gehraiya, I don't know. One, I haven't seen like, I literally haven't seen a movie, you know, from top to bottom in very long. I definitely haven't seen a Hindi movie, you know, in the longest time. You're totally right. The soundtrack was great. Deepika Padukone, by the way, looks so unbelievably beautiful. It is like not even funny. And also like the cast is a breath of fresh air, because apart from her, everyone else is pretty like fresh off the block. You know what I mean? Like this is probably their
second, third movie of sorts.
They haven't got as much limelight as they have got before. Yeah. So I thought the casting was pretty interesting. Like it was a really, you know, nice high-low mix, so to speak. So, I think the problem with the genre is there is such little of this which is generally available to an Indian customer, especially on OTT platforms. So, I think I can understand why this movie was confusing. Like, even for me, it was a very, very confusing movie, right? Because you don't expect, at least like, and maybe I'm an auntie, but like, you know, you don't expect like Hindi movies to be as like dark, nuanced, depressing, and nuanced, right? For the lack of a better word, as Gehraiya turned out to be. But
have you seen any of Shakun Patra's older movies? Have you seen any of them?
Kapoor and Sons? No.
So he's done Kapoor and Sons before this, and before that, I forget. I think it was Ek Mein Aur Ek Tu, which was Kareena and Imran Khan way back in the day. So he's a self-professed fan of Woody Allen, Wes Anderson. He comes from that school where, you know, just the way the movies flow. Lots of chaos, but also like really like you need to get certain undertones and stuff like that. Kapoor and Sons obviously did really well. So here's my take on any movie which has so much spoken about it, right? You have people who loved it. You have people who absolutely hating on it. There are memes happening around it. When you go this like different directions, you've done what you have to do. I feel that that is exactly what a movie like this should do, because if it didn't strike a conversation, everybody say, it was a nice movie, then you'll forget about it. People aren't forgetting about the movie after it's come out. They're still talking about it. I've seen many people on Twitter reply to others and say, I know that you didn't get it, but people didn't get Tamasha too. And Tamasha is like one of those movies which didn't do well when it came out, but is by far one of the best movies in Indian cinema in recent decades. And people now swear by it. So there are different parties here, but I feel that the fact that it's striking, it's bringing about so much conversation, I think is interesting.
No, 100%.
I'm guessing it's not a dumb movie is what I'm gathering.
No, not at all. I think, you know, I think it's so interesting because like, as usual in typical Indian fashion, there's been a lot of like shaming that's gone Deepika Padukone's way, right? Saying, oh my God, you're a married woman. How can you have so many intimate scenes with, you know, like other men? So there's a lot of that, which is disgusting and appalling because, you know, we're in 2022 now and you'd
assume, you're not surprised, are you?
I mean, I'm not
it's surprised. It's terrible to say but you're not surprised is how I put it. Like I always hear these things. I'm like, why is this even a thing? And you're like, because this is how people seem to still talk.
Yeah, but like, it's also like, you know, I mean, it's cinema, dude. And like, Deepika Padukone's shtick has not, I mean, she's not Katrina Kaif, you know what I mean? Like, her shtick hasn't been like, I am like cute girl next door, right? Like, she's always kind of like pushed the envelope with the kind of work that she's done in the past. I think the thing that was obviously like sadder to see over here is one of the writers, Sumit Roy, his dad posted a very sweet, you know, tweet saying, please go watch my son's movie. I'm forgetting if the dad was Sumit Roy or the writer was Sumit Roy. So basically, Sumit Roy's dad posted this very sweet, you know, tweet. He got destroyed on Twitter, like destroyed. Mm-hmm. Like people came after him with all kinds of crap saying, you know, your son sucks and what is this crap that your son has made and this, that and the other. And in fact, our guest, Karthik Srinivasan, Beast of Troll, wrote this really, really good, you know, post on how it's just like, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? And how like just
which is also why people make what is called Masi, but really like dumbed down movies because they don't, some people don't want this conversation, but I feel that someone like a Shagun Patra wants this conversation. I think he'd be very happy that this is the kind of conversation around the movie.
And I guess all publicity is good publicity.
But what it's done though, interestingly, there's another movie that came out this weekend. I know that this week we seem to be talking about movies a lot. Badhai Do, which is a fabulous movie, has just
is it related to Badhai Ho?
It's obviously a spin from that series of sorts, but it's great. I mean, I don't want to give up. I mean, it's, some things are obvious, but basically it's about two people get married who are generally not interested in the opposite sex because they don't want to tell the outside world of sorts. So it's dealt with very sensitively. It's a fabulous movie. So, and also that's what's happened, right? Suddenly you have this movie, which has gone nuanced. That one's gone massy, but has spoken about a very sensitive subject. And so one spin has also been the fact that, okay, look at that, how good that movie is. But I'm like, why compare? Just watch what you want to watch. I don't get why people get so touchy about movies. It's a movie. It's a show, like you said. Like,
yeah.
Watch it. You don't want to watch it, don't watch it.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of don't watch it, so we're going to take a break and be right back to Think Fast. Welcome back to Think Fast, where we are entering the metaverse. Or is it? Is it the metaverse? No, it's the Poojaverse. Yes, that's my next topic. What is the Poojaverse, Suchita? Do you know what it is? What is
No. School me, Varun. School me.
So Pooja Entertainment, the production company behind all the number one movies, all your Hero number one, Coolie number one, all the
basically like Badinia, like Govinda's endorsers.
All of those movies, also the new Govinda-ish movies with all these things coming back with Varun Dhawan playing what Govinda played before. So they've purchased $5,000 worth of land in the metaverse, and it's called the Poojaverse now. They purchased from a company called Crypto Voxels, is supposed to be a virtual world and metaverse built on the Ethereum blockchain. Now, the interesting part here is that it's run by Deepshika Deshmukh and Jackie Bagnani. They're trying to push a narrative saying okay, they're taking this production company to the next stage of things. I think, if I read this right, that they announced a trailer of their Bade Mia Chote Mia new version is coming back with Akshay Kumar and Tiger Shroff. It's a nice teaser. I'm a massive Bollywood watcher, so I enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. Let's watch it. You know, you should. I'm going to send you these links. You have to watch these things. You got to get.
Okay, but please help me understand. Why have they launched Poojaverse? They will release movies in
Poojaverse. They launched the trailer inside the Poojaverse.
Jesus. So how do I ghuso into Poojaverse? Like, do I do like a quick
Google
search?
You go inside and you watch it on a screen inside the Poojaverse. That's the whole point.
Jeez, Louise.
It's interesting that this is Bollywood getting into it. I'm telling you, Bhaiverse is coming. Bhaiverse is coming. And what I'm excited about is, imagine Rohit Shetty buys land and he takes his cop trilogy and cars are flying in the metaverse. It's going to be amazing. This is chaos waiting to happen. But what are your thoughts on this? Bollywood has entered the metaverse.
I don't know, man. I feel like I am like, I'm trying to make, actually the one question that I have is, I wonder how much of this is being, I really am. I'm just like, of everything I thought Bollywood would do. I mean, to be fair, someone also launched Bollycoin, which was a total f-ing scam. But like, I wonder, like, if, are these guys being paid by Facebook to like, join in? Because you know what I mean? Like the way you pay creators, right?
Or
like,
here's my thought on it. My thought. How traditionally a lot of Bollywood movies have promoted themselves is by trying interesting gimmicks, right?
Yeah.
Like we've done a lot of that in the past. Early days of Glitch, our primary clients were movie studios. So, you know, if you had a horror movie, like we would launch a Chrome plugin where your screen would become dark. This is before dark mode was a thing. So Bollywood has traditionally always used gimmicks around movie promotions.
Yeah.
So like we've done a lot of that in the past in the early days of Glitch, where you would, for movie promotions, like suddenly have like Chrome plugins where like a horror element should come into your browser because it's a horror promotion and all that stuff, right? I think this is an interesting way to kind of jump onto that to build a narrative. I don't know if, I mean, this one is just literally like, you know, you're creating a theater-like experience inside the metaverse, which might just seem like, okay, that's random. But I'm interested to see how can someone actually use this in an interesting way? Can you be part of a movie experience in the future while you're plugged in whichever form the metaverse kind of happens? I think this one is a little like, okay, fresh off, like, okay, let's just use this as a promotion vehicle. But what I find interesting is that what will someone do which could be interesting? Because people are doing live concerts, are doing live events in the metaverse.
Yeah, Justin Bieber did some live concert in the metaverse.
Yeah.
And a couple of other musicians have also picked it up. I think right now, a lot of it is trial and error. And if you think about it, for the amount of money that they spent on this, it's really like chump change, right?
$5,000 is
what? 5 lakhs or whatever, like, close to 5 lakhs. I don't know, but I think for the amount of money that they spent on it, this is like cheaper than buying 2 billboards. So in the grander scheme of things, it's an interesting experiment. I think obviously the question that I have around this is like scalability of it, right? Because like it may be cool, but you know, to be honest, none of this content at least hit me on Twitter or like my news feeds. You know what I mean? Like I didn't really see it break into mainstream, which is what you would expect gimmicky, quote-unquote, you know, campaigns to do.
Yeah.
And all of that effort to show me a trailer, I mean, like, dude, at least make the experience interesting. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, get
what is interesting though is I just spotted this part of the article that where I read this one. It said that Dalir Mehndi became the first Indian musician to perform using an entirely digital avatar in the virtual world. It was hosted on Party Night, which called itself India's own metaverse. Wow. I want to see like Tunak 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 in like metaverse. That's now you're talking.
God. Yeah, no, but Bollywood really seems to be jumping on this like NFT plus metaverse train with, you know, apparently Bollywood stars like Salman Khan and Amitabh Bachchan who've been selling their NFTs. A T-series apparently is also doing something in metaverse. So definitely a space to, you know, catch up on. To a topic that I understand because it is IRL and not like in Mark Zuckerberg's Ethereum, blah, blah, bullshit, which is Cult Fit and Mama Earth have been making some major bets. Cult Fit just acquired a Gold's Gym and they acquired the franchise. So I think there's about 140 gyms that are now going to roll into the Cult Fit, you know, sort of scope of management. Cult Fit obviously has been on an acquisition spree. They've been acquiring a lot of like cardio equipment brands. You know, we spoke about their acquisition of Tread, which is like a fitness startup. They've been acquiring bike brands and this, that, and the other. Yeah. And the other interesting thing, obviously, is Mamaearth has acquired Bee Blunt. Just to clarify, they've acquired the hair product business of Bee Blunt, not their, you know, salon chains, which will continue to operate as an independent entity, you know, continuing to play into their house of brand strategy. So what do you make of this Cult Fit acquisition? Because this isn't their first. They acquired Fitness First as well back in 2018.
So Gold Gym has kind of lost its sheen over, especially in India.
I mean, all gyms have too. Like, especially thanks
to Gold Gym still in the US and all that stuff is still pretty strong. Obviously, the CrossFit boxes took a lot of that away, but it's still like one of those old school names that has kind of lasted somehow. But I agree. It's fully gone down in that sense. But I think the interesting one is the Mamaearth one, because I feel there's more to this, because obviously Godrej had invested a lot of money into Bee Blunt. I don't think they acquired it, but I think that they put, I think so 40% is what I think they owned of Bee Blunt, the hairstyling product business. And that entire part, along with, I think it's 100% sell-off to Honasa Consumer. And I think that's interesting. Almost like you moved the entire thing out of Godrej to Mamaearth.
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard too much about the Bee Blunt products. I remember when the initial deal happened, there were, you know, there was a lot of like stuff happening. There were ads running. There was a lot of this thing. And slowly you stopped seeing enough of that, except for in the salon. So maybe in some ways also Godrej kind of like leading things off and pushing it onto a newer brand. That's what I kind of felt a little bit.
It seemed a little like, you know, siphoning off, that's the wrong word, but basically like letting go of, you know, slow performing assets.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, dude, the expertise and the capability that it takes to run an offline salon chain is very different from what it takes to like sell products, not just at the salon chain, but also, you know, in general trade, modern trade, as well as even e-commerce, right? And you definitely haven't seen Be Blunt make that much of an impact. I don't know what the revenue numbers are at right now, but you haven't, like, they don't pop up as much as Head and Shoulders or, I mean, obviously those are very large companies, but you don't even see them break into, you know, like popular parlance. I don't necessarily even see influencers, you know, pushing out Be Blunt related products. I think, you know, keeping the context of the acquisition aside, I really like what Mama Earth's doing over here because, you know, hair care has usually been bundled into skincare, hair care is usually thought of as a bundle. So for example, Mama Earth already has hair oils, they already have shampoos and conditioners, but that they've picked up a hair care focused product, I find very, very interesting. And it seems like they're kind of using this to either enter the territory of Bao Science, which, you know, whose products are again largely focused on hair. Hair as a segment is again fairly interesting because it's a 6,000 crore industry. Again, it's an industry which obviously is dominated by your, you know, large FMCG-ish players. Mamaearth's been able to already make a dent in that through, you know, their breakthrough product, which was that onion oil that has, you know, caught all the traction and saw the likes of even Marico say, hey, this is serious business and, you know, we need to figure out our spin on this new ingredient that, you know, Mama Earth has popularized. So I think what's definitely interesting here is Mama Earth's focus on hair care as a market in isolation versus like bundling hair care into the larger sort of piece of Mama Earth. And also Be Blunt is a premium brand. It's not a brand that... It's not a masstige brand. You know, it is a brand that is thought of as...
like a salon brand. Like how Tresemme, I guess, with Unilever
exactly,
is.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Or like, you know, like Kerastase, right? Like that's that's a lot of what the positioning has been. But I think if there's anyone who knows how to scale, it is Mama Earth. So more than anything else, I think this is a great move for Be Blunt because, you know, they may have figured out supply chain, product line, this, that or the other. But the real scaling of this, I don't think anyone knows as well as the Mama Earth guys.
And you know what else I think Mama Earth gets out of this, and which is interesting, because if you go to a salon these days and if you see what Enrich Salons is doing as they've kind of scaled out, is suddenly Enrich is launching like this large product lines on shelves inside the salon, which is not just a few products. Suddenly the shelf space is increased. So it's great for Mama Earth to even put their products on shelves in every single Be Blunt. I mean, I know it's not, they haven't bought into the salon business, but because they're going to be pushing this, it might almost be a win-win for them in that sense as well. They suddenly get so much more shelf space. They can expand that part out. I'm looking at Enrich primarily because I've been seeing that a lot as I visited malls again in the last couple of months. I'm suddenly seeing this one. What is a generally like mid-level or if not like expanding salon business, suddenly having entire areas just with products across the board. So I think that it's going to be interesting to see how they use that as well.
Yeah, and on like the Culfit and Gold's Gym acquisition, I don't know. I'm a little confused. Their strategy seems to be like very confusing. Like it seems like they want to build a fitness brand, right? But like they're doing gyms and then they're also doing D2C, and like obviously there was a spin-off of like, you know, Eat Fit from Cult, and Cult is focused, you know, only on the more like equipment fitness, you know, scheme of things.
Their apparel is actually not half bad. I tried some recently. I tried some of their like activewear and stuff like that.
What very brand would they tell? What's the brand called?
It comes under the Cult Fit brand itself. If you go to the Cult Fit app, you actually can buy like, you know, I tried the sneakers, I tried the tracks and the t-shirt, all like really nice, like well-made quality. I was talking to the team there as well, saying I was quite impressed with just like general, because you normally would assume, because I've tried some of the other brands which are in this space and they haven't been best of quality. But it's not a surprise as to how nice it was. So I guess there's something happening there. I agree with you. I don't get this gym deal. Primarily,
yeah, because it's kind of like they want to become a decathlon, but with gyms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is like throwing me off. But I mean, dude, Mukesh Bansal is a gangster. So I'm sure he knows more than you and I do. And we will see how things unfurl.
Speaking of someone who knows what they're doing.
The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson is building the fastest growing tequila brand of all time. It's a great Twitter thread. I think it'll be interesting if you can actually drop this in the show notes for people to check out. Nathan Bohr, if I pronounce his last name right, put this up. Basically, what it talks about is that you obviously had a lot of celebrities build liquor brands, right? You obviously had Conor McGregor had a $600 million exit with Proper 12.
Random Casamigos. Sold
Casamigos, $1 billion exit for George Clooney, $610 million exit for aviation gin and Ryan Reynolds. With tequila, what Dwayne Johnson kind of did is he obviously did a tie-up with a family in Mexico and obviously started off as a small batch tequila in that sense of the word. But when 2020 happened and you couldn't go through traditional, you know, ways to market and sell it out there, he started something on his Instagram, which he called Terimana Tuesdays. Yeah. I remember I was a little irritated because suddenly I followed Dwayne Johnson actively on Instagram. And I'm like, why is he only putting stuff up with tequila on his feed? But people seem to be having a lot of fun. He involved people in this where people were just like live. He's having tequila with thousands of people on Facebook and Instagram every week on Tuesday, right? And he doesn't drink tequila like a normal person. He drinks tequila like they could assume the rock would because the entire glass is filled with tequila and he's just drinking it. But that really pushed up a lot, which suddenly gave it like so much voice. And suddenly Terimana is like the first name you think of. Like, I can't think of another name. Like, I've been waiting for it to come to India the same way I was waiting for Project Rock to launch in India with Under Armour. But that's really scaled sales for them. And if you look at it, I'm just looking at what details he's put in this thread. He says that Casamigos, the George Clooney tequila, was doing 170,000 cases per year in 2017. It was acquired for $1 billion. The Dwayne Johnson one is doing a million cases. So if you look at this, the difference in just size, it's massive. Madness. In terms of it. And it's, they've just done a tie-up with Jägermeister for a global expansion piece. So yeah, The Rock knows how to sell tequila, and where he's just partnered. I think the three takeaways Nathan's put down here is saying partner with great people, trust your instincts, which is basically use your reach and distribution. Yeah. I think it's a great case study in just kind of using your reach as not just celebrity creator, whatever, to really be able to sell a brand.
Yeah. And it's not just him, right? You've even seen Kendall Jenner launch her tequila brand called, 818. And again, tequila is, I think, is going to be the gin of the next 2 years, because even in India, there are two brands as Desmond G, which
that's
is, I mean, they're not tequila.
That's
they're
drink,
same here. Agave brands. So there's Desmond G and the other one is Pistola that just launched, again, both, you know, Goa-based sort of like enterprises. So I think the space of like tequila plus agave is getting fairly interesting. Interestingly enough, it almost seems like most architected companies within tequila as a space end up doing well. You know, that history is repeating itself with Casamigos and now, his growth and obviously, you know, Kendall Jenner's spin on like 818 and her, Kendall Jenner positions everything in a slightly bougie-ish way. And the problem, I think, with the general Kardashian clan is they advertise and sponsor too many products too often. Mm-hmm. But I really, really like this. And it goes back to like so many conversations we've had about creators, right? Where when you're thinking of building a brand, you don't have to put your name on it. It doesn't have to be called like the tequila brand is not called The Rock, right? It could have very well been called On The Rocks, like moved fairly well, just given the association with Dwayne Johnson. But I think what I really love with this is that it's almost like the creator is keeping the brand separate. Also, the creator, from the looks of it, isn't going into like business and execution, because alcohol world over is a complicated business. It's a business that has, you know, severe amounts of regulation, and it's also a business which, whether someone likes it or not, is one on distribution. And unless you're not a master of distribution, crushing it in this category is like not going to happen. So it seems like he's, you know, got
and
all
now he has
the
an energy drink, which is Zoa Energy, which seems to be doing well as well. There's also Project Rock, this thing. Like Jay-Z said, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman.
I just want to let you know I've used that line on the show already. So, jokes aside, it's like, I'm just waiting for this magic to happen in India. Quick question.
What would I launch as a brand? Tell me, what would I launch? Considering I want to follow in Dwayne Johnson's footsteps. What should I launch?
We've already discussed
this. Don't say adult diapers.
Oh my god, what is that thing that old people wear who don't have teeth?
Dentures.
There you go. Biotin gummies. Right. You should do that, bro. Ghani ghani balon ka raaz. Ghani balon ka raaz.
Ghani balon ka raaz.
Oh my god. Or okay, like.
So before I digress further into this, thank you, Ansh, one of the team.
Beard oil.
That is it. Beard oil. Yes, I should launch a beard oil. Maybe I should do more content on like male grooming. It's time to do those things. Put myself out there. But before I go further down this rabbit hole, time for our last break and we'll come back for recommendation. This has been a nice... We've been fast. You have thought well.
Oh my God, been, Varun, you haven't babbled. Wow.
I've not babbled. I've been to the clock. So before I do babble and talk about not babbling, we'll take our last break and we'll be right back with recommendations. Welcome back to Think Fast, where we've actually thought and spoken fast this week. Or rather, shocker, I have. Shocker, I know shocker. You've always been generally faster and more thoughtful. I've been less random, but I have still spoken about Dwayne Johnson.
In the right context, though. So hat tip to you. In the right context.
Yes. Please buy my book. It's right there at the back.
But now it's time for... I am talking over Varun while he plugs his book for the 600th time, ladies and gents.
Buy my book. Buy my merchandise. I have lovely t-shirts and hoodies and all that stuff. Please buy my merch. My link is in my Instagram. I can share it anywhere you guys want. But it's lots of fun.
Okay, but let's get to the last segment, which is recommendations. Are you recommending your merch?
While I recommend you buy my book and you buy my merch and all that stuff, I'm going to do some giveaways. But for that, come to my Instagram. I actually want to recommend a YouTube channel I discovered, which is... by this guy called John Coogan. He's the co-founder of a couple of companies. But basically what he does on this YouTube channel is he really like digs deep into stuff in the business space. So he'll do like videos on how Microsoft might have just killed Zuckerberg's metaverse, or why billionaires love Mr. Beast. So it's very interesting how he's taking very like, you know, Silicon Valley, but like creator economy tech pieces, even stuff on what's happening in not just the metaverse, but Web3 and everything else. Very nicely made videos. He's distilled and really well. So yeah, check out John Coogan on YouTube. A great channel to follow. Just like I've binged a bunch of videos over the last 2 days.
Lovely. My recommendation is going to be short and sweet, which is this excellent book called Becoming Trader Joe's by Joe Colomb. For those who don't know, I'm obsessed with Trader Joe's model. They have the highest sales per square feet in the US, or at least they did in the last article I read about them back in 2017. But phenomenal business that they've been able to build themselves up despite a Walmart is like no joke. Despite a Walmart, Costco, Whole Foods, you know, and obviously then Amazon's takeover. Over Whole Foods. For folks who are interested in B2C, brand launching, marketplace, consumer, anything, the amount of strategic insights you will get from Trader Joe's story is like not a joke. It's an excellent book and it's a masterclass on how to really think customer first and also make nuanced bets that lead to long-term ROI. So for those of you who love retail, who love brands, who are in FMCG, highly, highly, highly recommend Becoming Trader Joe's. I haven't finished the book. I'm halfway through. But just a spectacular read on GTM and strategy and defensibility over a long period of time.
And that's it. That's the end of the episode. This is our fastest episode yet. This new format is amazing. If you let us know if you like this format, you can tweet to us, you can DM us, you can write into IBM, or any, if you have some negative things to say, positive things only to us, negative things to IBM, because that's why we have a podcast partner, because they can take the negativity, we take the positivity. And I'm going to go see Tigers now. I'm going to go see Tigers.
Oh my God. Have fun, Varun. But have fun.
What people are worried about is that Varun will be walking through the national park trying to find signal and not realize he's standing on top of a tiger is what the family is worried about. But... yes, I'm going to.
I hope that doesn't happen. Though I hope if you're standing on top of a tiger, you don't tell him, please buy my book from Amazon and buy my merchandise.
Recommendation, buy my book. It's amazing.
There you go, guys. I poked the bear. On that note, have a good evening, Varun. Enjoy your trip and I will catch you next week.
Okay, toodles.
Toodles. Bye.